Hello and welcome back to my episode 6 of the Fundamentals of Investing. I am Professor Mahesh Agnihotri, your host for the podcast. I am a retired professor of accounting and finance for bachelor's programs and other higher qualification seeking programs as well for almost 4 decades in India, Oman and the United Arab Emirates. During the period of my career, I taught the basic and also the higher levels of accounting courses and also the principles of finance, fundamentals of investing, capital markets and institutions, and applied finance in the area of finance. My interest in stock markets motivates me to write articles and also publish episodes on podcasts about the financial markets. In episode 5, we had discussed investment in some of the fixed income securities, their advantages and disadvantages, and also the risks involved in investing in these securities. In this episode, we will discuss investing habits of investors, both good as well as bad. The key to successful investing is choosing good investments. To do so, it is necessary that investors engage themselves in good behavior, that is, from the point of view of investing. Once the investments have been done, the investors have to engage themselves in good behavior. Every investor wants to make profitable investments by investing in different classes of assets, whether it is fixed income securities or it is investment in equities or investment in mutual funds for that matter. Investment in any class of asset depends on the risk appetite of the investor. To do so, different types of investors follow different strategies. Trading practices are different. Like some investors buy and sell stocks, there's every possibility that they may have done so based on their feelings and emotions rather than cold and hard evidence. Reacting to some information, they feel that it's time to buy a stock or sell it. But having a good understanding of the behavioral finance may definitely help investors in making good, wise investments in decision leading to good returns. People, financial and investment experts have been studying finance and business for years and years. As a result, there are many theories developed, many models have been developed that use the objective data to predict how markets will respond under certain circumstances. For example, you have capital asset pricing model, the efficient market hypothesis, and some others. And these have a reasonably good track record of predicting the markets. Let me tell you what is capital asset pricing model and the efficient market hypothesis. It will give you an idea as to what was the practice people would follow earlier on. The capital asset pricing model is a model that describes the relationship between the expected return and the risk of investing in a security. It shows that the expected return on a security is equal to the risk-free return plus a risk premium, which is based on the beta of that security. That is, if the expected rate of return is 10, it could be that 10 could be because of 4 plus 6 or 6 plus 4, whatever it may be. But that is always based on the beta of that security. Then we have to understand what is, at least know in brief, what is an efficient market hypothesis. The efficient market hypothesis, that is popularly known as EMH, is a hypothesis in financial economics that states that asset prices reflect all available information. But these two models, CAPM and EMH, assume some unlikely things, such as there are four assumptions which these two models have. The first one is investors always have complete and accurate information at their disposal. This assumption doesn't seem to be acceptable to everyone. I don't think so. The second assumption is investors have a reasonable tolerance for risk, and that tolerance does not change. I don't think that tolerance will always be the same. Tolerance changes, level changes. The third assumption is investors will always seek to make the most money at the greatest value. No, even this, I don't agree. The fourth assumption, which also many investors find it faulty, is investors will always make the most rational choices. So these are the four faulty assumptions. There may be more, but these are the faulty assumptions, and conventional models don't have a perfect track record. That is what I can say. Then we have seen behavioral finance, a new field of study that looks at psychology and emotion. A good understanding of the concepts of behavioral finance helps in making wise and meaningful investment decisions. While with the advancement of information technology these days, investors also think of robo-advisors to manage their portfolios. What are robo-advisors then? Robo-advisors are automated portfolio managers. Robo-advisors are also the software products that can help you manage your investments without the need of consulting a financial advisor, or you don't have to self-manage your portfolio. That is what robo-advisors do. That is, robo-advisors work as autopilot for investors, in fact. After initially answering a series of questions about an investor's resources and the financial goals, the robo-advisor will make ongoing decisions about how to invest the client's money. This is wonderful, particularly these days of technology. People can use it, but how far it is good or bad, it is up to the investors to experience. We have seen investors following different theories and models, which include the feelings and emotions. We have seen people following CAPM model, efficient market hypothesis models, then robo advisors. All these people have been following. We also know that investors use the concepts of behavioral finance. Now, investors have the option to choose of all these which one is suiting them the most, because different investors follow different trading practices. It was necessary for me to throw some light on the trading practices followed by investors. Now, let us discuss what are the investing habits of investors in general. First up, bad investing habits. There are four main bad investing habits generally investors follow. Not all, but many people do follow this. The first one is chasing performance. So investors chase performance of some stocks. The second one is investors follow the herd. This herd mentality is not good for making good investment decisions. The third one is under diversification. So diversification has its own advantages, but under diversification is not a good idea for investment. Then seeking comfort. Investors seek comforts when they trade. So these are the four bad investing habits investors have. Let us discuss these one after the other. The first one is chasing performance. In the investment industry, one of the most common disclaimers you'll find is past performance is no indication of future performance. I'm sure most of you have heard about this. Despite these words of caution, investors continue to practice the one strategy that does not work consistently, and that is chasing performance. It may work some odd times, but not always. Choosing investments based on past performance is much like driving a car looking through the rear view mirror. It may work for a short while, but eventually it will lead to big problems later, and it may also cause accidents. So that is not a good idea, to chase the performance of good companies. Chasing performance is really very dangerous. Yet it happens over and over again. Many investors do that. The unfortunate reality is performance sells. Last year's past performers always attract the most new money, and investors follow like lemmings. Between 1995 and its peak in March 2000, the Nasdaq Composite Stock Market Index rose by over 400%, only to fall by 78% from its peak by October 2002, giving up all its gains during the bubble. So this gives an idea that if you're chasing after some good performance, that may need not necessarily give you great returns. My advice is simple here. Don't chase last year's winners. Think about it. If it were that easy, we should be able to buy last year's winners knowing it will be this year's winners. Know it very well that it will be following year after year, and this will go on, so on and so on and so on. So last year's performance is good for this year's stock trading. So this is not to be followed. Unfortunately, it is never that easy, and far too often we get burnt chasing those winners. So my advice on how to use performance in a meaningful way in order to make better investment decisions is like this. Number one, what I want to say is this: use objective benchmarks. If I told you that investment X made a 7% compound interest over the last 5 years, some of you would think that investment is excellent because 7% is a good return. But others would be unhappy with a 7% return. Performance is subjective depending on what you perceive to be a decent return. Whether it is 7% or 9% or 6%. It is subjective depending on what you perceive to be a decent return. As a result, it is always better to try to establish the realistic objective performance benchmarks. Only then, you know, you'll be happy. Most likely to that decision will give you good results. Another advice which I would like to offer to the investors here is, think of portfolio instead of individual stocks. Quite often, investors will look at the portfolio of investments and zone in on the weaknesses. For example, you may have a portfolio of, say, 5 investments with returns of 30%, 15%, 10%, 5%, and the last one maybe 10%, and immediately you second guess the 5th investment. Likely that thought that crosses your mind is to keep your winners and sell your losers, that is the last stock in the portfolio which is giving you a negative return of 10%. Keep in mind that a properly diversified portfolio will often have components that underperform from time to time. This portfolio averaged over 10% or almost 10%, and that is a fair return by any standard. So think of portfolio instead of individual stocks. And then the last advice is buy low and sell high, and follow that rule of the intrinsic values. Then the second bad habit which investors follow is following the herd. A mistake that is often made even by experienced investors is getting caught up in the hype and blindly following the latest trend. Following the herd can often mean neglecting your own investment strategy and jumping into an investment without doing adequate research. This is not a good idea to follow, because following the herd is not a good idea. You have to do your own research and then stick to your own idea of whether a stock is good or bad. Some may think there is safety in numbers, but this is not always the case. A good example is the dot-com bubble of 2000 and more recently the hype surrounding the Bitcoin. People went on buying, and suddenly what happened? And there was a drop from 19,000 to now it is trading around $10,000, I guess. The third bad investing habit followed by many investors is under diversification. There are obvious benefits of diversification of stocks in your investment portfolio. Despite the well-known and the obvious benefits of diversification, many investors tend to concentrate their portfolios. This mistake can be very costly, and it is often caused by confusing the familiar with the safe. That is, it is caused by confusing the familiar with the safe. Unfortunately, the famous value investor and the iconic fund manager Peter Lynch contributed to this problem with his advice, or the statement that is, buy what you know. Being familiar with an investment may provide you with the necessary information, but that does not mean that the information is what economists would call value relevant. If other investors also have the same information which you have, information is already embedded in the price, and then that information has no value for you. It has to be something different. Confusing the familiar with the safe can actually entice investors to concentrate risk. Let me give you an example. Home country bias can lead investors to overweight the equities of their domestic market. Note that this investment mistake is a worldwide phenomenon, not limited to one country XYZ. Investors all over the globe tend to overweight their domestic market, each believing their home market is both safer and will provide higher returns. So, this is confusing the familiar with the safe will not lead you to greater returns. A second and related mistake is overweighting the stock of the company you work for. That's a particularly egregious error because it combines investment risk and also employment risk. That can put investors in double jeopardy because both these risks can show up at the same time. That is the problem. Then we have the fourth bad investing habit, that is seeking comfort. It is common to see investors often favoring popular assets. It is not fun, but it is not fun to lose money, but it is even worse to be wrong and alone. It hurts to lose when others make profits. It's a part of the investor's psychology. This can cause or make investors to concentrate their holdings in the more glamorous growth stocks rather than the higher returning and unglamorous value stocks. That is, you are comfortable with glamorous stocks. That is not a very good idea because the other higher returning and unglamorous stocks are also available, which may give you higher returns. Seeking comfort also leads the investors to overpay for products. That is, you may pay a higher price for a stock. Remember, overpaying leads to poor returns. Investors should consider intrinsic value when they buy stocks. While seeking comfort in the form of smooth returns, sometimes investors overpay for illiquid and private equity investments, which should be avoided. In case of some assets, it is possible that the returns are not reported frequently and valuations may not be adjusted to the true market value. That happens in case of some assets. And investors feel that the returns are smooth, but that is not the case. For example, the same effect occurs when investors buy a long-term certificate of deposit instead of a bond with a similar maturity, 4 years, 4 years, 3 years, 3 years, whatever, but the maturity is similar. When investors receive their custodial statement, the bond, which will be marked to market, while the certificate of deposit they own directly will not. You may be not aware of the meaning of the term mark to market to understand the difference between the CD and the bond here. Let me tell you what is mark to market. Mark to market is a tool that can change the value of a security on either side of the balance sheet depending on the conditions of the market. For example, stocks an individual holds are marked to market. The certificate of deposits provides an illusion of safety in a rising rate environment. Similarly, private equity investments can provide an illusion of smooth returns, whereas the bond is marked to market. Some of the ill effects of seeking comforts which should be avoided by all investors. Now, having discussed the four bad investing habits, now we move on to the good investing habits. There are three good investing habits that investors should adopt in their pursuit of the financial success. The first one is invest your funds strategically. Investors should choose the strategy and asset allocation they believe in and stick to it. It is also suggested that they avoid tactical asset allocation or market timing strategies. This should be avoided. To ensure you have the discipline required to do so, you must be sure not to accept more risk than you are willing to or you are able to take. Strategic investing also requires rebalancing, which leads to the opposite of destructive performance chasing behavior in which most investors engage. So one should avoid destructive performance chasing. So rebalancing is required, that is as per the strategic investing. Then we move on to the second good habit to be followed by investors while investing. Diversify the risk aggressively. In a world where there are no clear crystal balls, broad global diversification is the prudent strategy. That is the key to good investments. And it should be thought of in terms of outside of just simple geography, if it is possible, not just one country. Wherever there's a possibility, stocks should be diversified. Diversification should be applied across asset classes, to equity factors beyond overall equity market risk factors such as size, value, and also the profitability. Then the third habit which investors should follow is to accept the discomfort if you are paid for it. Investors may take risk where there is a strong, persistent and pervasive evidence of a premium for a certain strategy. But don't exceed your ability, don't exceed your limit. The ability to hold uncomfortable assets, such as say value stocks, and that too during difficult periods, is often what distinguishes between successful investors from that of unsuccessful ones. To conclude with our discussion on the investing habits, both good and bad, you are now aware of the do's and don'ts. Hopefully, since correcting bad habits can lead to a dramatic improvement in returns, this will provide sufficient motivation to change if you have been guilty of bad behavior. That is what the behavioral finance teaches you. Like not following the herd and using logical trading practices, not just the intuition, that is the key to good investment decisions. I hope that you have understood the episode 6, and if you do so, please like, share and subscribe the podcast and also recommend it to your friends as well. And should you have any questions, you may contact me on my email agnihotripodcast@gmail.com. Thank you and see you in the next episode.